The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome to William Hill's Irish Racing Preview. My name is Alex Dunn and I've been joined on the line by Andy Holding to look ahead to Sunday's card at Navan. A pretty strong card as well. We've got some graded races to look forward to. And obviously the return of Flemingstar at 250 is one to look out for. Some good racing. Hopefully we can grab some winners. Morning, Andy.
Morning, Alex.
How are you?
Good, yeah, pretty good.
Good. You've just returned home from a spell in the William Hill Studios.
Yes.
A decent weekend as well, by all accounts.
It was, yeah. I really enjoyed yesterday. It was a proper Saturday jumping day where we had lots of early season clues, some good performances novices-wise, and I thought the Badger Ales was a fantastic race. I went a good gallop, and Standing Ovation continues his meteoric rise for the Pipes, and I think that's the fourth time in 10 years now they've won that race.
Mm. No, definitely. They've got a great record in that. And Standing Ovation still looks like he's gone places as well.
Yeah, he's won 20 yesterday, wasn't he? Probably got up to the 130s, but, you know, won't put it past the Pipes to extricate a bit more improvement out of him. I can't say I'm sad to see the back of the flat, though.
No, I think it just...
The last two months have been really difficult, and, yeah.
I just think that you've got horses that are reaching the end of the tether for the season, if you like, and combine that with bad ground and punting wise, it becomes rather tricky, doesn't it?
Yeah, I've lost money on the flat in the last couple of months, so yeah, I'm looking forward to the all weather and the national stuff now, big time.
Yeah, definitely. So we're going to look at some hurdle and chase races today at Navan. We'll kick things off with the 12:45. It's a maiden hurdle over 2 miles, and Indian Icon. Seems the one to beat here was pretty smart on the flat and ran creditably on his hurdling debut.
Yeah, he did, yeah. He was always going to be talked up as a possible decent juvenile hurdler, wasn't he? Because, you know, he's trained by Desi Hughes for a start-off, and he ran in similar races to the races that O'Connor ran in before he went on to dominate last year's juvenile category. I mean, Indian Icon, by the way, he's never, ever going to be as good as O'Connor. I'll say that on record now. He just hasn't got the class for one, but I don't think he's got the size or the scope or the robustness really to make a real impact in the three-year-old campaign this season. But I think he'll do okay, and that was very much in evidence first time out when he got beat by a horse who'd already had the previous run and experience. Also Claire Cam, trained by Gordon Elliott, and he just got first run Claire Cam, and he just had a bit more know-how in the latter stages, but nothing wrong with it as Desi Hughes' three-year-old. He ran him all the way to the line. He tried very hard, and that's what he is. He's just a game, honest, you know, likeable horse that always leaves it out on the track, and hopefully he should get his just reward today with the victory, because this is a really poor race, really, to be honest. It was a race, of course, O'Connor won last year as well, so even more emphasis on Indian Icon following his stablemate's hoof prints. The obvious each-way horse of Didargo has chased him home at Thurlow's. I thought he kept on quite well, actually, Ken Condon's three-year-old, and again, he ran with a good deal of distinction down in Down Royal when he chased down probably the best juvenile hurdler seen so far in Ireland, Guitar Pete, who also is trained by Desi Hughes. So I think you've got two options, really. You take the even money Indian Icon, or you back Didargo each way.
Okay, and your preference would be?
I'll back Indian Icon.
Right. Okay, fair enough. Indian Icon the pick there in the 12:45. The second race is the 120. It is a novice's hurdle, a grade 3 contest over 2 miles. And the market has it as pretty much a two-horse race. King of the Picts is a decent enough horse, but we'll find this pretty difficult with a penalty. The market has it between Manila For You and Very Wood, both obviously representing powerful connections. Which one do you prefer here, Andy?
Well, I'm a big fan of Very Wood. He's a chaser in the making. There's no doubt about that. You've only got to look at him to tell you that he's just marking time at the moment. I mean, he's a big unit for a four-year-old, this lad. I mean, he's winning point to points, you know, when he's very young. And what we've seen of him so far under rules has been nothing but a massive amount of promise. First time at Punchestown in a 22-runner race, was well backed and got the job done nicely. And then he went to Galway the other day, small field, jumped quite well, apart from a silly little fiddly mistake two out when he kind of like guessed at it. But once he set sail for home and met the hill, he powered clear. He beat a horse called Blow the Doors Off, who in turn was a good winner previously to that at Sligo in a bumper, and they were well clear of the rest. I think you're going to see this horse when he's running over, or better when he's running over 2.5 miles. And I hope today that Davy Russell at least makes plenty of use of him, because he's going to need an aggressive ride here to try and shake off Milena Forum, who out of the two has probably got more actual natural speed. He looked very much a horse who's got a good turn of foot when he won at Listowel. They didn't go very quick in that race on the 21st of September. One thing he did do was change gear quite rapidly as they turned into the home straight, and he quickened away quite readily. But of the two today, I think on this ground and this kind of track, this stiff track at Navan, it'll play into the strength of Narmi's Very Wood. Like I say, I hope Davy Russell makes a good bit of use of him, gives him a push, you know, a hard ride from the front, because if he does, I think he's going to be very difficult to pass because he's a very strong stayer.
Okay, so Very Wood the pick there. The third race that we'll look at is the 150. It is the Liz Mullen Hurdle, a Grade 2 contest over 2.5 miles. Looked a great race. Unfortunately, we've lost Rule the World, who was going to be favourite for Giggingstown Stud. That leaves the race pretty open, to be honest. I mean, at the time of recording, Captain Seabee is at favourite, and, well, I wouldn't be mad keen taking 15-8 about him. What do you think, Andy?
Yeah, I mean, at least he's fit. I mean, that's the one thing you do know, whereas all the others have got certain question marks on their well-being. Obviously, it's their seasonal reappearances, so he has got that in an advantage, and he's got some form around this track, and also as well on heavy ground. The one thing he hasn't got form over is 2.5 miles. First time, bizarrely, ever in his career he's actually run over 2.5 miles, which seems quite strange because you know, he's had 20-odd races. And certainly the way he stays in over 2 miles away, you'd imagine that an extra 4 furlongs wouldn't come amiss. But he's up against 3 or 4 horses here who all can turn it on when the conditions are right, and perhaps when they're in peak fitness, which is the slight doubt we have today. But of them, I quite like Marla Beach. I think this horse is a very talented individual. I was really impressed in the one day when he beat a good field at Leopardstown. The likes of Fox Rock and Thunder and Roses were cast aside. He then went to a Grade 2 at Thurles, only just got beat by a horse of Desi Hughes's from the Giggingstown Stud operation called Bright New Dawn, who I think we'll hear big things about this season over fences. And then in a really strongly run race at Fairy House, which was served up by Defy Logic, he managed to wear down Paul Nolan's charge in the latter stages, proving that stamina is very much his key point. And, you know, there were good horses there, strung out all over that racetrack that day. I mean, it's 22 lengths back to the third. They went a good gallop that day. You know, horses like A&Wee and Morning Assembly. And it was a good lineup that was. It was a proper good Grade 2. And, you know, he's very much a horse going places, Marla Beach. Obviously, taking on trust that Gordon Elliott's got him somewhere near peak fitness on his opening start for the season. But if he has, then I think Marla Beach is certainly going to give you a good run for your money here.
OK, then, Marla Beach, the pick there in the 150. The next race that we'll look at is the 220. It is a handicap hurdle over 2 miles. Arguably the most open contest that we've looked at thus far, Andy. Wouldn't be surprised to see any of these really popping up.
No, interesting. There's a bit of money for Western Sun this morning, I noticed. Paul Nolan's in good form at the moment, and one or two of his horses have run way beyond expectation, and this could well be the case for this one, because if you look at his form figures, you think, what on earth is this all about? A horse chalked up around about 8-1 and been back from double-figure odds as well overnight and in throughout this morning. You'd certainly question their sanity, but he's obviously been doing some good work at home for him to attract such money. And as I said, with the yard going well, who am I to say that he couldn't pull off what would be a bit of an audacious punt? The ones with the best form currently are Dane Quest and King of Oriel, both of them coming off the back of wins at Limerick and Punchestown respectively, but both have been on a much quicker surface than this, particularly King of Oriel's win last time out. That was on fast, you know, proper fast ground. He travelled really well, Donald Kinsella's four-year-old, and got the job done, I thought, with a bid in hand. And I desperately wanted to get with him next time out, but the soft ground here, it is a stiff track on soft ground, might just, you know, pull him apart in the latter stages. So I'd have a slight question mark about him at 7-2. Looking down the list, there's one at a big price here that I certainly think has been overlooked by the bookmakers this morning. Not necessarily sure he's the greatest win option here, but from an each-way point of view, around about the 21-16-1 mark, also called Black Zero, certainly is worth a few quid. He ran in a race similar to this the other day at Nace, and he acquitted himself quite well. He had the first-time blinkers on, he travelled quite well, he just got outpaced on the run-in, but I thought he ran probably a career high on that occasion, and if the blinkers work again, there's no suggesting why he wouldn't be sort of there or thereabouts here on this occasion. In behind him was three of the horses at Rio Post Day, one of them Spacious Sky. Now, punters are almost putting two together and coming up with three with this horse, because every single time he seems to go off for a very short price on the basis that he's trained by Tony Martin, and oh yeah, this is one of these wise guy punts that's going to come off every now and again. But for me, he just hasn't shown enough for me to get excited with him at his price. I'll just let him win if he wins, and I'll let him win. He's going to go unsupported for me. So it's a real, like, you know, head scratchers race, to be honest. And I thought Black Zero was the option I'd want to take at 16-20-1.
Okay then, Black Zero in the 220. The 250 is the Fortria Chase, a Grade 2 contest over 2 miles. Sees the return of Fleming Star. Not really the best punting race this, perhaps, Andy, but firstly, do you think Fleming Star will win? And secondly, is it Days Hotel or Rialt Moore that follows him home?
Yeah, it's an intriguing little race, isn't it? It certainly gives us a chance to look at Fleming Star after he's been in his new surroundings. Of course, a controversial change of scenery, of course. Now he's with Tony Martin. I mean, he began his season perfectly in this race last year when he sauntered to victory and beat Big Zeb quite readily. Everything looked to be going rosily, and then all of a sudden, once the wheels came off, I mean, that would be massively, massively unfair. But it's from that point onwards that Connection thought, well, perhaps we'll give him a go with someone else. I mean, he rounded off his season, finishing quite tamely behind Sprinter Sacred Aintree. But, you know, his grade run runs in the Lexus behind Tidal Bone, of course, that run in the Hennessy behind Sir Deschamps. Certainly suggests that he's right at the top draw. I mean, he's a 170-plus rated horse, and it's only really the 3 miles on soft ground which has been catching him out. I think Connections are starting him off quite sensibly here over a trip which he's always been very dominant in Ireland. And I think for now he'll probably be campaigning around the 2-2.5 mile category. I don't think we'll probably ever see him again over 3 miles, which is a good move. And he's certainly with the right man anyway to pace his season out correctly. There's certainly no way Tony Martin's going to rush this horse. So let's hope he gets his season off to the perfect possible start. Chasing him home, well, I don't think he'll be chasing him home, but the one who'll lead anyway is Rialt Moore. He is a real tearaway horse. He actually was ridden with a bit of restraint first time out. They gave him a bit of a chance, and he didn't quite get home. That's his problem, really. Sometimes his stamina does tend to, you know, cut out in the latter stages. So it might well be that Days Hotel is the one that does follow Fleming Star home here. I mean, he's a good horse in his own right, Days Hotel. Probably we need a career best to actually beat the favourite, but at the same time, he's got enough form in the book to suggest he should be good enough to finish second. So, as the market suggests, I think Days Hotel will probably finish second to Fleming Star.
Okay, then, Days Hotel to follow Fleming Star home there in the 250. The 325 is the penultimate race on the Navan card. It is a beginner's chase over 2 miles. A really fascinating contest this, Andy. I mean, you could give chances to a few on the pick of their form, but it looks to be between Marlbrook, Minsk, and perhaps some Ticket. But what do you fancy here?
Yeah, I'll probably go Marlbrook, actually. Interesting that Colm Murphy, after he won a point-to-point in a pretty impressive fashion, has just given the one run, and that was at Garran Park over what seemed an inadequate 2 miles. I mean, it was a bad race, and he got the job done fairly readily, as his odds implied. But he's been roughed off and given plenty of time to sort of fill his frame and grow into himself, because he's only a five-year-old. And he begins his chasing campaign here in what looks to be quite a keenly contested race, certainly a mouthwatering affair on paper. Hopefully he can jump a clear round. Interesting, the Connection gone for blinkers on for the first time, which looks a bit odd because he looked fairly straightforward as far as I could see in that hurdle race at Tregaron. Perhaps just to sharpen him up a bit, perhaps he's just been running around as he's coming to his obstacles at home, and they needed a bit of headgear just to, you know, kind of give him a bit of tunnel vision. So that's the only slight concern I've got at the back of my mind. I certainly think he's the most obvious long-term project in this race that he's going to be running at festivals towards the back end of the season. The other one obviously being Minsk, who is a very good hurdle on his day. Never really, for me, lived up to expectations last season, even though he did run quite creditably at the Cheltenham Festival beyond the new one in the old Sun Alliance hurdle. That was the last time we saw him. He's been on the flat recently as well, just to blow away the cobwebs when he ran in a conditions race down in Listowel. Again, not running too badly. That's the problem with Minsk. He doesn't run badly at all, but he just leaves me a little bit cold like nowadays. He almost looks as though he's lost all his old pace and his verve compared to what he had when he was winning John Ox. And I don't really think he's become the kind of horse that we were expecting under rules, you know, over fences, over hurdles. So let's say we can get on in his new discipline. But today, I just fancy Marlbrook a little bit stronger.
OK then, Marlbrook there in the penultimate race. The final race that we'll look at is the 3:55. It is a handicap hurdle over 2 miles and 7 furlongs. Very open contest this, Andy. We've got joint favourites at the time of recording. Oscar Fian for Barry Geraghty and Tarquinius for Gordon Elliott and Wilson Rennick. Tarquinius, of course, perhaps better known for his exploits in chasing, but certainly comes here with a good chance.
Yeah, on the pick of his form, yeah, you would suggest that. But he's never won a hurdle race. And I definitely think he's, you know, he's more accustomed to slogging it out over three miles plus over the larger obstacles. And at his price, I wouldn't be interested in him at all. And I'm a big fan of this favourite or joint favourite, Oscar Fian. I've been waiting for this fella for quite a while. Every single time the declarations come out in Ireland, my eyes have been trained to Johnny Levens's charge, looking for him, waiting for him, and then up he pops in this race on a Sunday. And the only thing that's been slightly disappointing from my point of view is that Johnny Ward in the Racing Post also spotted him as well, like I did last time out. And his price is not quite as big as I thought it might be overnight. When I looked at this race, I thought 20-odd run a field, we might get 7 or 8 to 1 for this fella. Unfortunately, we're only looking down the barrel of 4 to 1, but that doesn't stop me napping him, because I think there's a bit of improvement to come from this lad. His last three runs have been massively eye-catching. He ran behind a horse called King Shabra at Fairy House over 2.5 miles when he was tailed off virtually from the word go, and then he absolutely flew home in the latter stages. And he did the same again at Nace on the 20th of October when he only had 2 behind him turning into the home straight, and amazingly he managed to put in such a powerful finish that he finished second. They then ran him in a handicap first time out, back at the same track, dropped him in trip, and I think he would have nearly won that race, you know, behind Alfa Omega, had he not suffered incredibly bad interference from turning for home to the last hurdle. He went for a run up the inside. Unfortunately, every time he did, Andrew Ring and his mount got the door slammed in his face on more than one occasion, and he wasn't knocked about thereafter. Interesting connections have gone for Barry Geraghty today, which definitely signals the intent that they fancy him strongly today. Now, they've upped him in trip today as well, and I think this will play into his strength, because the one thing he does do is finish his races off quite strongly. So this is manna from heaven for me. I'm on a well-handicapped horse with Barry Geraghty on board. He should handle the track. I think the trip, he'll get it standing on his head. And it's such a weak race that off a mark of 102, I'll be very, very disappointed if Oscar Fian doesn't produce the goods in the final race.
OK then, Oscar Fian, a very confident selection there in the closer at Navan. Great stuff, Andy. Good luck with those selections. Good luck with the nap. Enjoy the action, and we'll catch up with you later this week.
Will do. Thanks, Alex.
Cheers.